Amen. Ooh. Amen. I just need to say something. Tao's being nice, but with the lost and found deal, we're not going to donate to Goodwill. I'm putting all that on eBay. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to make myself a few extra bucks. So if y'all don't get the Craigslist, eBay, I don't even care. There's like a new app out there too. Anyway. I was trying to make a few extra bucks, you know what I'm saying? We just had a baby, you know what I mean? Like, got to buy those boxes of diapers from Costco. Anyone know what I'm talking about? They're like, you got to roll them out on a dolly. Like, yeah! It comes in a 300-pack, you know? So this morning is Pentecost Sunday. Yeah, just go like this. This is like the tongue of fire on your head right there. It is just like burning. So exciting, man. I'm sure you guys mentioned it, but Pastor Dale and Teresa are in China right now as we speak, preaching the gospel to the Chinese church. That's so exciting, man. That's like, oh, breakthrough. And there's such like, with Cheon and their what's it called? The apostolic like ministry, HIM, they're like connected with the governmental churches. And so that's like, you know, there's like, I forget what they call it, like three seat help or three self church. Yeah, they're connected with them. And they're like, in years past, they've been really strict, but now they're letting them come in and do like pretty much Bible college and go teach all the Chinese people and train leaders in signs and wonders. Come on. And how cool is that, that our church gets to be involved with revival in a nation that seemingly was closed, but now our pastors get to go lay hands on leaders that are going to impact thousands and hundreds of thousands. Because the thing is, like, our the churches that they have aren't like 20 people, 30 people. It's like, I mean, we're like 200,000 people in these people's churches, you know. And we get to be a part of this because our pastors are there laying hands on people right now. Boom, people getting laid out, people getting healed. This is awesome, man. The fire of God, you know. I'm going to pray. The Lord said you should probably pray. So I'm going to pray. Lord, help, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that came 2,000 years ago. We celebrate Pentecost. Lord, that the church was birthed in power and signs and wonders and miracle working power. God, they were all speaking in tongues and God, it was a miraculous day. And we thank you for it, God. I thank you for the 120 that were in that room that night. Their day, I don't know when it was. It was sometime when they're awake. And Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name. Let me pause on that prayer. Did you know that the 120, there was 120, right, in the upper room? Did you guys know that part? But did you know that Jesus appeared to over 500 people after he resurrected? And he only appeared to believers. The Bible says over 500 of the brethren. That's another word for people who've already believed in him. Here's the question. What happened to the other 380? Come on, man. That's crazy. There is 380 plus who didn't make it on the most significant day in church history because they might have had something better to do. My God. They're waiting 7, maybe 10 days. There's debate on that, and there's math. And we'll do the math later. It doesn't matter right now. But listen, 7 days, maybe after the 6th day, they're like, dude, is the promise of the Father going to come or not? Come on, man. You have things that God's spoken to you, promises that he's spoken over your life. And Jesus said, wait until you receive the promise of the Father, until you've been clothed with power from on high. Oh, there's power in the waiting. There's power in the waiting. And they got up to 6th day. And then maybe they're like, dude, I got some other things to do. There's this other party going on down street in the other area of Jerusalem. And we're just going to go do some things. Oh, my friend's got some things going on. I got better things to do. But the 120 stayed there seeking God, praising and praying to God. And then all of a sudden, they got to experience something that nobody else in the history of humanity had ever experienced before. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That is the first time that happened in history. That from Genesis all the way until that moment, nobody had spoken in tongues. Is that crazy or is that not crazy? I just think it's, here's the point, that there's a generation, I believe that, and I believe our church is part of the 120 company, that's what I'm going to call them, the 120, who will take a step further and than the rest of the crowd. I don't know what the 380 doing, but it doesn't matter because I know what I'm doing, and I'm in the 120 company, waiting on the promise of God, positioning myself for a great move of God, and what everyone else has something else better to do, I'm sitting here going, God, I'm holding on to your word, I'm holding on to your promise. And God, I believe for a great move of God in San Marcos, in our city, in our family, a great revival that would sweep through our land. That God promised it and he prophesied it, and I'm waiting on God. But in the waiting, I'm pursuing. You know what I'm saying? Waiting isn't passive, but waiting is pursuing. These guys didn't just sit around eating hummus and pita bread. You know what I'm saying? They weren't just chilling in the upper room. They were praying, and they were all together in one accord. Not a Honda, but in a room praying all together, unified, saying, God, we want the promise of the Father. And they, listen, people who take a step further and do something more will always experience something that no one else has ever experienced. They're the forerunners. They're the spearheads. They're the ones who cut through into realms that everyone else thought they were crazy. Because they're like, hey, this is kind of weird. It's kind of weird. There's like little pillars of fire chilling on your head. You guys are talking languages. I don't even know. What are you right now? And it said that they thought they were drunk. You know, talk about like the first Pentecostal church service. You know, it's not like they had another denomination to go to. You know what I'm saying? Can we get a more reserved Pentecost, please? Because this is a little weird. This is, I need something that's a little suiting to my comfortability. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't have it. That was the church. That was the church, man. There isn't any other place they could go. This is where, if you wanted to find God, you came to these people. And so that's what we celebrate, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. That was my unpause, and then I prayed, and then it's ended now. Listen, we have all come tonight. Today, it's tonight somewhere. It's tonight in China, so, you know, so I want to talk about understanding and wonder. Like, there's something about understanding and then wonder. Like, sometimes we have to understand everything, and it's good to get understanding. And let me just say this up front, because I have 10 pages of notes. I barely even get through 6. And so bear with me, because I have a lot to say, and let's just see what the Holy Spirit has to do. Because I'm like, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through all this stuff. And he's like, just follow me. I'm like, okay, I'll follow you, Lord. But we're talking about understanding and we're talking about wonder. And here, there's these two things I think should be things that we live in our lives consistently. Like, there's a realm that we can get some stuff and we start being an understanding, but there's also a realm that we just have to be in awe and in wonder of God. And we just have to settle that we're not going to get it all the time. And I think sometimes, especially in the age of reason and sometimes in our Western culture, if we don't understand it, we just completely reject it and say, it's just not good for me. And the problem with that is if we don't leave room for wonder and mystery, then we actually leave out aspects of God that he wants to reveal himself to us. And we actually have a limited relationship with God, because I mean, understand, like, God is bigger than our imagination, greater than we can comprehend. And we do this with simple things like, it's not simple, but things that aren't as controversial, like the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's one God, but reveals himself in three persons. Do I understand it? No. But do I believe it? Yes. But then you start moving into some more wild things that are a little more controversial, even speaking in tongues can be controversial. Even like things like supernatural healing, or why are you guys so passionate in worship? You know, I can remember the first time I came to a church service, it was in a youth group. Nate actually invited me to his youth group, and everyone was clapping their hands, all happy. It looked like everyone was like Carlton from Fresh Prince of Bel Air. They were just like, Lord, I lift your name on high. And I'm like, oh man, have you ever had that feeling where you felt embarrassed for somebody? I am legitimately telling you the truth. I felt embarrassed for these crazy, happy, weird Christian people. I was so embarrassed for them. I was like, what are you guys doing? It is not legal to be that happy for no apparent reason. Like, it is just weird. You know what I'm talking about? It starts getting into some of these things that all of a sudden our comfortability level starts shifting around. You're like, I'm not sure about this, dude. And then you get into like a more charismatic church and they start rubbing oil on people's foreheads, you know, during services. And you're like, why are they taking a bottle of oil in this room? And that lady just fell down. Is there, did someone call 911? Like, they're shaking, they're laughing, they're kind of, I don't know, is that screaming? I don't know what that is. It's weird. And they're throwing little magic blankets on them. What is that? What? Are we in Aladdin right now? What is happening? Why did they throw a blanket on her? Is this like nap time for some people? What is going on in church? Why do we do this? Church is weird. Can we get another Pentecost? I don't like this one. Where is it? And you know, like all this stuff, man. Like, and you come in and someone's laughing in the middle of worship during like a real serious moment. You know, you're like, what's wrong? And you try to look like no one told her a joke or him a joke, you know what I'm saying? Like, they weren't like, you know, Facebooking in the middle and saw something funny that someone posted. They just spontaneously started laughing. You're like, what is wrong? These people are crazy. That's it. That is it. Like, I've seen those video, those movies about the insane asylum, and they just walk around, ha ha ha. They're like that. What is wrong with these people? Anyone ever thought these thoughts? I don't know. I'm just being real with us today. Like, I, and our comfortability is like weird. And then they start talking about gold appearing on their hands and feathers are falling and oil's coming out of someone else's hands. And you're just like, this is crazy, man. This is outside of my box. I like my neat color inside the lines, you know, like, I don't like this stuff that I don't understand. Is this crazy or what, man? And this stuff happens. And we've been seeing an increase of this. So many, I mean, just, I was sitting right there where Pastor D was sitting when Cheyenne was speaking last Sunday. And a little feather just floated by my head. And I caught it. And I was like, whoa. And I put it in my wallet because I want financial blessing. No. Joking, not joking. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, I'm telling you the truth. It was just this, and I'm like, okay, Lord. Like, I'm not trying to make stuff up and just because I need a cool testimony. So I'm like driving home, like, Lord, let it happen in a place where no one could be playing tricks on me. You know what I'm saying? We get home and we're like, Rochelle and I are about to eat lunch. And this little thing floats down and lands on her hand. And it's another one of those down feathers. And I'm like, this is just crazy. This is crazy. And what does it mean? I don't know. But it's awesome. I'll give you a little bit of framework, what I think it could mean. But sometimes we understand it, and sometimes we're just in wonder and awe of God showing himself in ways that are different than what we're used to. Is this crazy or what, man? This is, and listen, sometimes God comes in ways that are unfamiliar to us, but it's still him. And this morning, I want to talk to you about having an open heart towards the various ways God reveals himself. And I want you to just look at Matthew 14. And we're going to just start in verse 22, because it happened to the disciples, and it happened to a lot of people in the Bible. And so this is after they feed the 5,000, and there Jesus basically, he says this in verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Verse 25, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. That's new. Verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were so excited because it was like God was showing himself. They were terrified. Someone say terrified.
Terrified.
And what did they say? It's a ghost. Come on, man. This is Jesus himself. They were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. Can you imagine these buff fisherman dudes? Ah! Did that just come out? I'm sorry, Matthew. I didn't mean to do that. Like, I don't know what happened. Someone just, I don't know. Ah! They were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Which I think it's crazy because he didn't say, it's Jesus. It's me. He didn't say, it's Jesus, the Messiah, you know, the one that you've been following. He said, it's me. You ever get those voicemails from somebody that you're just not sure? And all they say is, hey, it's me. Call me back. Who's me? I don't know who me is. Let me look through my contacts. Nope, there's no me in there. I don't know who this is. In other words, he was giving them an opportunity to begin to learn who he is, not just by him identifying himself, but them being able to identify him in a new way. And he said, Lord, so Peter's like, I think it's him, but I'm not sure. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on water, and came toward Jesus. And you know the rest of the story. It's awesome. But this is what I want you to see, that the disciples were actually freaked out. They were freaked out, and they cried out in fear, and they thought it was a ghost. But here's the coolest part. It was really Jesus. And it was God. It was good. So here's the deal this morning. We're in good company, because if we ever got freaked out at something that God was doing, we're in the same company as the disciples. And God's with us in the journey. He's not like, oh, no, you got freaked out because this girl fell on the ground when she got prayed for. That's weird. And you freaked out. And he's like, he just kept moving along with them. You notice he didn't ditch those people who right there. He didn't. I need a new 12. I need a new deck of cards. These ones are just, you know what I'm saying? It's like, he's like, no, I'm working with you guys. And we're walking with this together. I know you're freaked out, but just come on. Just keep, just do it afraid. And I love it because Peter, even though he was freaked out, he leaned into what God was doing. He didn't run away from the unfamiliarity. He took a step towards it. I mean, I can tell you, this is how you know God's really working in someone's heart in a real deep way, is that they're freaked out, but they keep walking towards Jesus. This happened to me, man. I was embarrassed for these people. You know what I'm saying? I actually like got completely dissed by this kid in youth group. This is literally, I'm telling you, literally the first time I ever went to a youth group in 2001. I came up and I was sitting on a couch because youth groups have couches, right, Taylor? And I was sitting on the couch because that was a cool spot to sit. And this dude came up and they were like greeting people. And this is what he did to me. Literally, he went like this. Hey, what's up, man? Like that, and totally like psyched me out, like tried to do a handshake, and then went like, just kidding. And I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, like, you know where I come from? You know, skateboarders don't, like, we don't, I want to punch you in the face right now. Anyway, what am I trying to say? You go through all kinds of hurdles when God's really pulling on your heart. You're like, hey, this is weird. I just totally had an opportunity to get offended at this place and walk right out because this dude totally messed with me. And he was serious about it too. Like, he wasn't even like, oh, just kidding. You know, he was like, he just walked away. I'm like, all right, youth group is cool. Nah, you know, like, but God was drawing my heart. And so beyond all this stuff, Peter was, he was freaked out, but he still took a step towards the unfamiliarity. Are you following me so far? This happened to Moses in Exodus 3. There's this, he's out doing his work, you know, working the sheep, and then all of a sudden this bush is on fire, but it's not burning up. It's like, it's, there's fire, but it's not burning up. And this is what it says in Exodus 3, verse 3. It says, then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him in from the midst of the bush and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he got his calling from God. He sees a burning bush and he turns aside to see. Listen, listen. The sign and the wonder was an invitation. It was a summoning of God. And because he turned aside, he got his calling from God. And sometimes I feel like we could see a ghost, so to speak, we have a burning bush experience, and yet sometimes people, we're surrendering to our fear. We decide it's not God sometimes. Sometimes we go far and decide it's the devil instead. We're like, oh man, that's a cult. People are getting healed and their bodies are better. That's a cult. That can't be good. People's lives are improving. That's got to be the devil. That has got to be. And I'm telling you, this, there's reports like this that go on around. And we decide, no, that's not God. That's weird. I'm too unfamiliar with this. I think it's weird. Oh, I don't even care. But what I love about Moses and what about Peter is that they serve as such powerful examples and they lean into it. Peter literally took a step towards Jesus when he was not even for sure if it was him. That's crazy, man. He didn't even know it was him. He said, Lord, if it's you, he wasn't sure. But you know what he did? He leaned into it anyway and said, I'm going to take a step. And he started walking on water. Moses got his calling from God. I wonder if there's callings from God that are still in waiting to get picked up because someone didn't turn aside to see the great side. And they thought it was too weird. They thought it was too, I'm not sure about this thing because this is kind of freaking me out. See, there's understanding, but then there's wonder. And we need both, man. Are you with me this morning? We need this. I remember this is what kind of started this journey for me in a more of a bigger scale. We took our youth group and the college group to Jesus Culture conference in Reading in 2012. This is the first one that we brought everyone to. We're like, because we had checked it out the year before. We're like, dude, this is awesome. One of our youth kids started interpreting tongues for the first time. And it was just a wild experience. Like we got visions and all this stuff. It's the first time we went. It was when you hear Pastor Teresa sharing about when she sees that vision of the harvest and teams coming up out of it. And this thing has actually been a catalyst for our whole missions movement that we're doing here. So it was really significant. So we're like, let's bring everybody now. And so we go there. And they're having they're in the Civic Center, and then we get out the Civic Center, and it was a fire tunnel outside. Now, here's the dealie. This is the first fire tunnel that we have ever seen in our lives. We've heard about them. Wasn't too sure about it, but the fruit that was coming out of Jesus Culture was awesome. So we're like, dude, they're wild, but man, I trust them because this is changing my life, man. You know, I've never seen God moving in my life like this before. So let's do this thing. We get out there, there's a fire tunnel. And I'm telling you, it was wild. Like it was wild. Listen, some of us have already been on this journey, so bear with me. Some of us are in the middle of the journey and some of us are just like, I don't even know why I'm here this morning, but thank you for helping me not feel weird. You know, like, so this is it. So this fire tunnel is happening and I'm like, and people were like, you know, they're just wild. You know, they're like, whoa! Like this, people are laughing, people are rolling on the ground. You know, it was like a dunk tank. This guy was like, shapoosh, like he was like baptizing people or something. It was wild, and people were just prophesying. It was just a crazy, wild time. And this is us going through the like walking around, like checking it out. There's three groups of us that day, and we had a big group. We were divided into three different groups. One group was. They were all in it, man. They were wild. They were just, they're like, yeah, this looks awesome. Let's get in the line, man. They're like, whoa, you know, like, and we had to like carry a couple girls to the car because they couldn't walk after it. It was just, there was one group that was just all in it, like drunk in the spirit, like crazy, just wild. Then there was a second group standing outside with our arms crossed like this, like, I don't know, man, this is weird. This reminds me of back in the day when I used to go party in high school and everyone was just like, yeah, kickstands, you know, like this is what this looks like. But it's at a Jesus Culture event. So I'm confused, man. I am just confused. I thought we did away with this stuff when we got saved. Anyone know what I'm talking about? And then there was a third group. They were over here. Arms crossed, angry faced. This is bad. This is wrong. This is irreverent. How dare you treat the Holy Spirit like this? So irreverent. And they were angry, dude. They were mad. And I'm the leader of the group. Pastor the sheep. Mighty shepherd. Lead them into the promised land. I'm like, oh, Lord. So I literally, and some of y'all were there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of y'all remember this time or like, oh, Lord, we're at the Jordan about to cross the promised land into weird, and I don't know if we're ready to cross over yet. Obviously, we crossed over, okay? But, but man, I'm telling you, I had to start asking questions. I started asking questions because I had to go like, for me, it was important for me to have some kind of understanding what was going on. I needed some kind of explanation. Like I needed to find some stuff in the Word. I'm sure it's also important for some of y'all to have some understanding as well. And that's the first point in this message, is get understanding. Listen, Proverbs 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is a principal thing, but this is what he says. He says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Everyone say understanding. He said, in all you're getting, get understanding. It was important for me to have some understanding because I'm the leader, and guess who's everyone's looking to lead them? And they're looking at my facial expressions when they see people going through the fire tunnel. And I'm like, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You go to the DMV, they tell you to smile, you're not sure what to do. It's just like, oh man, I don't know. Take this picture. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Just look at your driver's license. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, how did they get that picture of me? How did they do that? I don't know how they got that picture of me. You know, you're at Walmart trying to pay for something. Can I see some ID? Like, nope, don't have it with me. Don't have it. Sorry. I don't know where it went. Just look at my face. Can't you tell it's my name on the, whatever. Ask my wife. This is my name. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Rabbit trail. And all your understanding, or all you're getting, get understanding. Listen, there's something about understanding that creates peace. There's something about understanding that helps you actually receive better. Like, I was at Home Depot, and you know all those chips that are on the cards now? You know what I'm saying? So it's not just swipe it, put your PIN number. It's like, put the chip in, you know? Which, man, I'm kind of annoyed by, because it's like, now I feel like I'm growing up and things are changing, you know? And it's just like, oh, it's not CDs anymore. It's MP3s. Lord, anyway, I just feel like I'm growing up. I have some gray hairs coming in. It's just a crazy stage in my life. Y'all can pray for me. Anyway, the lady, I'm like, oh, we got to do the chip. Okay, you know, put the chip in. I'm like, dude, what is this even about? And she actually started, she knows what it worked. I didn't know how it worked. And she started telling me, like, the chip has some kind of code that alternates every time you stick it in the thing, so that way it creates more security. And she's explaining all this. And all of a sudden, this level of understanding makes me okay with now having to put the stinking chip in there. Now, you know what I'm saying? This level of understanding helped me go, like, okay, I'm not just wasting my time, because, like, I didn't see any problem with just swiping the card. You know what I'm saying? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know what I mean? Like, why we got to move on with technology? I'm okay where I'm at. You know, like, what? I want the VCR. Anyway, I'm okay. You know, like, I'm good where I'm at. Anyway. But this level of understanding helped me go, like, oh, okay, that sounds actually pretty smart. Like, there's something about understanding that creates peace, and you get understanding by searching the Bible and asking questions. So I remember, I feel like the Lord brought this verse to mind, Psalm 16, verse 11. He says, you will show me the path of life in your presence, you all know this, is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So I started asking questions like, what does fullness of joy look like? Rather, what can it look like? It doesn't have to look like that dude that was in the fire tunnel that's now rolling on the ground laughing like a crazy person. But I can't neglect that. I can't say that that's not God. Because what if that's how fullness of joy looks for him? And I started asking questions, and it helped me have some understanding. Like, oh, so in worship, when someone starts just laughing crazy, what if they're in his presence and they're experiencing fullness of joy? Wow. Instead of going like, I'm gonna walk to the other side of this room. And just going like, lean into it. Oh, that's the Bible. Oh, okay. It's totally warranted for in Scripture. It may not be how you experience it, but just because you don't experience it like that, you can't discredit someone else's experience like that. And what I think is crazy is sometimes in the church, and I'm not saying just us, I'm saying in a broad, like, spectrum, sometimes we do this thing where outward expression in worship and all this stuff is highly accepted in different realms outside the church. For example, you go to a comedy club, you watch a funny movie, and if someone's like gut busting, laughing, like going crazy, like, ah, it's completely normal. You cross the line into the church and into the presence of God, and all of a sudden the rules change and you're not allowed to be a human being anymore. Is that crazy? And I started thinking, like, wait a second, I should have been embarrassed for myself, you know, instead of being embarrassed for the other people who were expressing their worship to God, because I was the one in bondage, not them. I was the one too afraid to express what was going on in me. And they had freedom to actually express it. And not just because if you don't dance or you don't, you know, I think that everyone should have some kind of realm of dancing, because Psalm 149, Psalm 150 says, praise God's name with dancing. So there, it's actually like, do this, like God's asking you, will you dance with me? You know, this is God. But if that's not your main forte, cool. Like, but man, we can't discredit someone else. And you know, if they're doing that, I remember like Ben, you all know Ben does backflips off the stage periodically. Oh man, we've been on this journey for a while. It sounds so normal for me to say that, but I realize like a new person coming in like, oh, that's okay. Break my box, right, man, you know. Like when worship would get really passionate, you know, and we're jumping and praising, and all of a sudden I'd be like, yeah, cool. And then, phew, you know, like there's a backflip off the stage, you know. And I remember someone was criticizing him, and this is years ago, and they were just saying like that, you know, even just dancing in general, they're like, that's wrong. That's distracting other people. What do you mean distracting other people? That's helping them get free. It'd be like, it's distracting because you're drawing attention to yourself or something. Like that's just like, I don't, that's weird. Is that weird? Like if I show affection for my wife in public, like an appropriate affection, let's just clarify, like, and if I show that type of appropriate affection in front of my son, I'm teaching him how to love his wife. I'm showing you with me on this. Like Donald Miller wrote a book called Blue Like Jazz, and there's this amazing quote, and it says that he just couldn't understand. He was watching this jazz musician play this music, and he was so enraptured by his music, and he was watching him, and he just couldn't appreciate it the way that the same guy could. And he said, sometimes you have to watch someone love something before you can love it yourself. And he says this, it's as if they're showing you the way. Ooh. And I feel like all these things are like invitations. And so we get understanding and we say, God, like, what does fullness of joy look like? And all of a sudden, you know, and I'll say his name only because he was really a catalyst. When Christian Cummins got hit with the Holy Spirit, he was a catalyst in our church. And I don't know if most of us realize this, but he would be the dude, the weirdest, I'm telling you, the weirdest dude in the church. Because he would be laid out in the corner. I remember one Wednesday night, he was laid out in the corner over there, and like we were like the last people in here, and he just wouldn't get up. And every once in a while, he'd be like this, and be like, whoa! And then he'd be done. 2 minutes go by, whoa, Lord! And like he would be getting, and God would be visiting him with whatever, prophetic. And I'm telling you, it was crazy, but there's something about leaning into it. Because when he would pray for me, he said, hey, I just feel like I need to pray. Well, every time he prayed for me, the presence of God would come. And then he'd prophesy these things. I'd be like, dude, this guy's legit, man. Like the manifestation of God's presence would come. And it was this catalyst. And God, I was just, well, I got to lean into this, man. And now, dude, the dude is just awesome. I've heard testimonies from people from other churches. One of my friends at Father's House Church, I think they meet at Mission Hills. Maybe they have another building now, but they came up to me and they said, yeah, one of your church members came up to me in Starbucks and prophesied this word to me, and it was so right on. I was like, was that Christian? Yeah, it was him. The dude was awesome, man. It was, is. He's still alive. He's doing well. He's all, you just, he's, so, and I'm telling you, all of a sudden, he was like breaking into a realm for us. And it was so awesome. And so we get understanding. Look at this. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is what we're celebrating in Pentecost. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and be my witnesses. So here's the questions you have to ask. If I got in contact with power, what would it look like? Let's break it down. If I found a socket on the wall, stuck my thumb in it, what would I look like? Does it have to look like that? It doesn't have to, but I can't discredit it if it does. What does it look like if power touches you? See, in all you're getting, get understanding. And this is what I'm realizing, is that these scriptures have been under my nose the entire time, and I couldn't see them because I didn't want to see them. I couldn't see them because I was taught not to see them. Not by our church, not by stuff, but there's teachings out there and there's people out there. It's like Phariseeism. Do you know in John 5, this isn't going to come up on the screen, but in John 5, Jesus is talking to these Pharisees, these leaders, and he's saying, guys, listen, you guys diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you have life. And he says this, he says, but these are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you're refusing to come to me and have life. Is this wild? And this is what he says. This is literally essentially what he's saying. He's saying, you know the book very well, and you're so enraptured by the book, but the author is standing right in front of you and you don't have eyes to see it because you're so into your chapter and your verse that you forgot about the author of the chapter and the verse. And they couldn't see him. Is that crazy? I'm reading through the Bible. I've read through this thing multiple times and I'm reading through it. And just in this last year, I'm seeing things that I couldn't see before. Because I'm realizing God is bigger than what I've been taught. And the Holy Spirit is a teacher. And he begins to reveal things. And so when feathers start coming, Psalm 91 actually says he will cover you with his. It's been there the entire. It's not like the book just got rewritten so that way I could like justify my experience. It's been there for a few thousand years. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And all you're getting, get understanding. And so you ask trusted people and what they think about what you're wondering about. I'm not talking about people who are embittered by the church. I'm talking about people who love God and love the church. That's how you know of a healthy Christian, is that they not only love God, but they love the church. You know what I'm saying? Like somebody, I just love God. I just love Jesus. I don't need anybody else. I'd be like, bro, you do though. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. You know what I'm saying? And it's just crazy. And so, I just love Jesus. Why can't I just love Jesus by myself? Well, because Jesus told you to like be with people. That's why. If you love Jesus, you would do what he told you to do. You know what I mean? Like, and so when you're, because this is the deal. Like, there's people that you know in your life that actually have some understanding in all this stuff, and you actually have access to just be like, hey, like I'm kind of freaked out. Why gold is appearing on my hands every day? Can you help me with this? And maybe they don't have the answers, but maybe today, seriously, my heart today is not to give you all the answers. My heart today is to give you tools so you can find the answers on your own. Yeah. I want to create a framework for you to go like, oh my gosh, I can actually pursue these deeper things of God. Are you with me? And so in all our getting, we get understanding. So we ask people, we ask God for the gift of discernment. I'm telling you, this is one of the gifts that I love. It is so, so powerful. I remember one time we were ministering I won't even get into details, but I just know this. I was praying for somebody else. It was like a ministry time when we were praying for people. And this kid was getting touched by God or whatever, but I could hear this moaning coming like from somebody. They were crying, but there was like a moaning going on, like a deep cry. But I knew it had there was a demon tormenting this person. And it was crazy because this gift of discernment came on me. And I went to the person who was praying for him. I said, hey, it's a demon, you know, like, and they just told me, they're like, yeah, I know, man. And we're actually praying through and forgiving some things and all this stuff. And I'm like, but it was crazy because on the outside, it could have just been, oh, they're just weeping and getting touched. But the gift of discernment allows you to know what spirit is behind all of it. And so John tells us in 1 John 4:1, he says, test the spirits to see whether they're of God or not. There's four different kinds of spirits on the earth. Did you know that? The spirit of God, the spirit of man, and angels and demons. These are four different types. And it's important for us to realize that that's what the discernment is. The gift of discernment is a discernment between spirits to let us know where the source is. Is this God or is this just them? Or is that an angel actually giving them something from God because they're sent to give us stuff from God? Or is this a demon tormenting them? And we have to be really wise because actually sometimes when people are shaking and it's because a demon is manifesting. And we have to have discernment enough to know this is God's power touching them or this could be, hey, they're manifesting a demon. They need some deliverance. Are you with me on this? This is normal Christian stuff, man. This is like Jesus said, cast out devils and heal the sick and all this stuff. So this is like part of our inheritance. Like this is what we get to do. And we need to ask God for discernment. This is part of getting understanding. And so we know, because if not, we could have, in a weird way, we could have just like pacified the demon. Oh, it's okay. Just cry it out. Just cry. You with me? But I knew the source was, no, this is a demon that's been tormenting this person. and we need to kick this thing out because it's not supposed to be there. You with me? We ask God for discernment. And by the way, that the gift of discernment is not the gift of suspicion. So it doesn't mean we go around acting like we think people who have demons and stuff. We're like, oh, you're, oh, that's probably, that's a Jezebel. That is a Jezebel right away if I knew it. I'm telling you, that girl. Right? Because, right? It's like if we don't have love, we're nothing. We gain nothing. We have nothing. We just, it's nothing gained at all. It only works with love. It don't have, if you don't have love, it doesn't work good. It actually creates probably more damage. Okay. We're going to go to the second point. Leave room for mystery and wonder. We kind of already talked about this, but I want to go into this a little bit more. Leave room for mystery and wonder. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Do you see that? This is God. His paths are beyond tracing out. That means if you can understand God completely, then it's not God. We have to leave room for mystery and wonder. When God comes on the scene, there has to be room for like, whoa, this is, I don't understand. But because I have a living relationship with you, God, I know it's you because I know what you feel like. I know what you smell like. I know what you sound like. Are you with me? You know when God comes and there's that moment, you know, when there was just like when we were worshiping early, it was so powerful, man. The presence of God just dropped and I'm like, oh, you know, I just found this cool new song. It's old by Corey Asbury called Finally Found Where I Belong. Finally found where I belong in your presence. Oh, dude. It's to be with you. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, this YouTube that. It'll change your life. But there's something about I know it's, I don't understand it, but I know it's God because I know God. Because I have a relationship with him. This is a new thing of God, but it's him because I know what he's, I know what the sound of the Lord God is. Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They knew what God sounded like. I believe they knew what God smelled like. I believe they knew what God felt like. I believe all their senses, the taste, the sight, the smell, the sound, all that. I believe all their senses were heightened to perceive God. This is the realm that we're all created to live in, you know. God actually has a smell to them, to him. He has a fragrance. And this is our heart. We get to experience this. Are you with me? So we leave room for mystery and we leave room for wonder. When you don't have full understanding, you live from the realm of trust. Everyone say trust. And until you get the understanding, just trust God. I remember in this journey, there was like another fire tunnel or somebody who was like super gnarly was like laying hands on people and they're like getting hit. And I was kind of freaked out because like I'd never fallen down before and or gotten hit like that. Maybe hard to believe, but this is what literally I remember the Lord telling me. And it reminded me of what Jesus said. He said, son, I'm not going to hurt you. And I was reminded of the verse where he said, which one of you, if you ask your fathers for bread, will he give you a stone? If you ask him for fish, is he going to give you a scorpion? How much more will your heavenly father give good gifts to those you ask him? And he just started realizing, like, I could trust him. If that's how you want to come with electric power, and I'm like flying over seats and stuff, and the leg is kicking out like a dog trying to scratch an itch that he can't get. That's how you want to do it, cool, because I know that you only give good gifts to me. And so I just trusted him. I didn't understand it, but I trusted him. And we got to know that we shouldn't limit our belief in how God can do something based on our comfortability. We got to surrender to however God wants to show up, regardless of our comfort. In other words, he is God and we are not. And we got to stop trying to tame an untamable lion. It's like they're talking about Aslan in Chronicles of Narnia, and they were like, is he safe? And the lady said, of course he's not safe, but he's good. And this is our God. Of course he's not safe, but he's good. And it's like when we try to limit it, it's like we're caging up a fierce lion and we'll never experience the fullness of who he is. We have to realize that God isn't the weird one. He's not abnormal. He's the standard. He's the normal one. And we're the ones actually being transformed to be like him. It's not the other way around. That's why the Ten Commandments, don't make any graven images on things that look like things that are on earth. And then, why? Because it's not about us trying to mold God into something that we think and want him to be. It's letting him, he's the potter, we're the clay, make me like you. Oh, but that means I'm going to be a little weird. Well, I guess whose standards are you going by? You know what I mean? That's where I think the word comes in from Jesus, where he says, woe to you when all men speak well of you. Hey. Is this okay? You guys all right? You guys good? I told you, man, I had too much stuff to say. I'm like, can we stay here till 5 p.m., Lord? Let me paraphrase this. John chapter 6, Jesus starts preaching some stuff that's pretty weird. And he starts saying stuff like, I'm the bread of life. And then that's a nice metaphor, you know? And then he says, no, guys, listen, my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Yummy. You know what I'm saying? Like, what kind of cult did I walk into today? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is Jesus though. Like, you know what I mean? This isn't like one of his disciples that he needs to correct after, where we're like, hey, there's just a few things we want to tweak in your teaching. You know, like, I know you were trying to lead communion, but we don't believe in that transubstantiation stuff. Like, let's, anyway, if y'all know, whatever. He's preaching this stuff and people are freaked out. In John 6 verse 60, it says, many of his disciples, when they heard this, what did they say? This is a hard saying. Who can... Oh, John 6 verse 60. Help me out, Perry. Come on, man. Hook me up with John 6. It has a key. It has a really good word. He says, who can understand it? There's that word again. Understand. Everyone say understand. This is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Some of the people didn't understand, and they let that get in the way of trusting and following Jesus. And if you go on in the rest of the story, it says, actually, this is crazy to me. I feel like it's not even insignificant. It's John 6, verse 66. 666. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Is that crazy that it's John 6, 66? I just think it's like significant, man. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Because they didn't understand. That is crazy, man. They didn't understand, so they said, this dude is weird. I'm done. I do not get it, and so therefore I don't want it. Woo! Oh my God. But look at what Peter said. Jesus said, he turned to the 12, you guys want to go away too? And Peter chimes up and he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter said, we have no other option. We have no other option. We don't get what you said, Lord. It's actually kind of weird and it's freaking some of us out. But all I know is that when you talk, I come alive inside. All I know is every time you open your mouth, I get warm. It's like the road to Emmaus, their hearts were strangely warmed when he began to speak. Our hearts are burning as you speak to us. But I don't get it. It's weird. My brain is doing cartwheels, man. It's weird. It's like the hamster's trying to run, but he can't because it's just weird. You know what I'm saying? It's just weird. But all I know is when you talk, I come alive. And I have no other option. I've surrendered my life fully to you. And so if you're going to get weird on us, I'm in for it, man. Let's do this thing. Come on, man, this is Bible stuff right here. This is the Lord speaking to us. And man, I'm telling you, it's not that to say that we leave our brains at home and let other people think for us. We have to pursue God and get understanding and all that stuff. But there's something about allowing for this wonder and mystery. We do it with the Trinity. And listen, saints throughout the entire Bible had to do this. Why would it be different for us? when we don't understand, we still have the choice to choose God. This is bread rains down from heaven for Israel. And you know what they call it? This is so awesome. I can't believe God is showing. They said, what is it? That's what manna means in Hebrew. What is it? What is this? Moses, do we have a chapter and verse for this? What the heck is this? There was no chapter and verse. There was nothing written about that. And here's even crazier. Like, when you look at all this stuff, a lot of things happen in the Bible, in the Old Testament saints and in the disciples. They did not have any chapter and verse to support their experience. Manna is raining down from heaven. Quails coming from little birds are appearing. You know what I'm saying? And they have a huge cloud over them by day, and it turns them into a huge pillar of fire by night. They're crossing over on the Red Sea. They're doing all kind of food is multiplying. Did you know that Jesus wasn't the first person to multiply food? Elisha the prophet multiplied food and fed 100 people. Elijah and Elisha raised the dead. There was no chapter and verse to support their experience. Is that crazy? I feel like I am preaching a little bit to the choir, but if I am, here's a little framework for you, for some of your friends, because I'm telling you, this is a real issue. This is a real issue. I deal with it with our college students all the time. We get students coming from all different backgrounds and all different walks of life, and they come in, and all this stuff is happening in our services, and they're freaked out. And my heart is to encourage us, to encourage them to lean into it. And they get that leaning, that wonder and that mystery going on. There wasn't, all this stuff was new. And what if God is just doing a new thing? It's this wild supernatural God. And we'll land on this. Number three is invitation to more. There is an invitation to more. Like, we have to expand what we think is possible. What if God opened our eyes like he did for Elisha's servant to see what's really around us? 2 Kings 6 says, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened his eyes and of the young man, and he saw. And look at this. Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around him. Like, there is a whole realm going on around us that we're unaware of. Like, what if this realm begins to break into ours? It's not like there's like one angel in the corner somewhere. Did you know that each one of us, this Psalm 34 says the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them? Like, everywhere you go, you are surrounded with angelic hosts. Literally. Paul tells us later that the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And so that means the more real things, like the angels that are surrounding you, they're actually more real than the things that you're more comfortable with. And I want to encourage you. There's an invitation to more. I showed you this verse, Psalm 91, verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers. What if oil starts appearing? Psalm 92, verse 10 says, I have been anointed with fresh oil. What if these scriptures are not just metaphorical, but what if they have literal properties to them? Are you with me? And gold is appearing on people's hands. Isaiah 60 said, his glory will be seen on you. Wow. Wind blowing. The other day, David Knox was sharing this message about women being empowered in ministry. I'm telling you, it's probably the best message I've ever heard on it. If you want to hear it, Crux Cast, we have a podcast for our college group. Get this message. It will change your life. I promise you that. I'm not even just upselling anything right now. When he was preaching this message, the air conditioning was off. We checked both of the things right here. I'm sitting right here and a wind on me and Bobby the whole time. Off. We checked both of the things right here and there, and I'm sitting right here and a wind was blowing on me and Bobby the whole time. It was wild, dude. We're like, do you guys feel that? I'm like, both of the things right here and there, and I'm sitting right here and a wind was blowing on me and Bobby the whole time. It was wild, dude. We're like, do you guys feel that? I'm like, Emily, check the air conditioner, check the fan. And this wind started blowing. Hebrews 1. And the we're busy, dude. On this. The plane's been circling the runway for like 8 times. Fragrance is appearing. We've had fragrances starting to appear in the last few months. We were leading worship and it just started smelling like frankincense and myrrh. Like, it was like this whole, and I were just like, we're like, do you smell that, dude? It was crazy. We're sitting by the soundboard one time at Fire, And it, all of a sudden, this lavender smell just was filled, dude. And even, I think it was last Friday, it started smelling like an orange grove. I'm telling you, this is crazy. Have you guys been on the Disneyland, the California, and you go over the orange groves and it smelt like that? It was wild. In verse 1, verse 3, it says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. This is the bride and husband, which is us talking about. For your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils are fragrant. And your name is oil poured out. Actually, anointing oil. Oh my God. Psalm 45, verse. Psalm. You might want to write these down. And it's. Are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. Do you see that? Jesus has robes and they're fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. Cassia is like a cinnamon type of a smell. This means when God shows up in the room, we just talked about when you walk into the room, right? He has a smell. And sometimes the fragrance of God starts appearing. And it's just his nearness. And it's a sign of intimacy. This is what Song of Solomon's all about, intimacy with the bridegroom. And he starts showing up with his incense and his fragrance. Have you guys smelled this stuff before? It's God coming and his nearness is coming to us. I want you to stand with me today. Are you good? Are you all right? I'm going to give you one more and then I'm going to pray. Just put Colossians 2:5. Can you just put Colossians 2:5? I want you to see this. I want to like break everything that could possibly just blah. Paul's writing Colossians and says, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. What if it's not just a metaphor for saying, I can just feel what's happening over there? What if he literally traveled there in the spirit and actually saw in the spirit realm what was happening? Is that crazy? What if he literally during his prayer time entered into the spirit realm what he's saying is, I was there with you in spirit and I could actually see the steadfastness of your faith. What if? What if we could actually get transported into other places? This is all the Bible, man. I hope that broke someone's box open. And I invite you to pursue and discover God in ways that you never thought you could before. Because the word has been under your nose the entire time. And it's been there the whole time, man. Holy Spirit, just open your hands to him. Holy Spirit, I just release fresh encounters over your people today. Come with your fragrance, God. Come with your oils, God. Come with your gold. Come with all the ways that you want to reveal yourself to us, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would literally expand our view of what we think is possible. That you would literally expand our view. Come, Lord, even more right now in Jesus' name. We open our hearts. We open our hearts and say we're ready. However you want to come, Lord. However you want to come. Sometimes you come like fire. Sometimes you come like rain. Hallelujah. We had someone here a few years ago have water just spontaneously start appearing on their hands. He said he would come like rain. So God, let it come. Let rivers of living water come. Show yourself to us in ways that we've never experienced before. Expand what we think is possible. Come on, let's ask the Lord for this. Let's ask the Lord for a breakthrough in this realm. God, that we would see an open heaven, God. That there would be an interaction between heaven and earth before, like more than we've ever seen before. You have opened up heaven over us. You have opened up heaven, the storehouses of heaven, the windows of heaven. God, let it manifest. Let that realm break into this realm. God, I thank you for healing in bodies. I thank you for deliverance in people's lives. God, I thank you for signs and wonders coming to confirm your word and to show us another part of your nature. God, release it over our lives. Release it. Come on, just take a few moments and just ask him for another realm. Ask him for a new thing. God, I thank you. Behold, you said you do a new thing. Let the new thing come in our church. We declare in this realm, in our church, an open heavens. We declare an exchange, God, between heaven and earth. We declare the angelic visitations. We declare heavenly encounters. We declare, God, in Jesus' name, the manifestation of all you are, God. We don't want just the stuff that we're comfortable with. Holy Ghost, come in the ways. Release, God, that the lion, God, the fierceness of God, the wild nature of God. Oh, we thank you for it. Oh, hallelujah. We love you today. We want everything, however you want to come. However you want to come. Ooh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you agree, say amen. Come on. Bless the Lord. That's it, man. Here's what we're going to do. Just altar team, I'd love you to come forward. Listen, if you have any needs for healing or anything like that, or